Chapter 7 Irv Fowler woke up with a raging headache. Too many beers the night before, the scientist mused as he dragged himself out of bed. Chugging down a cup of coffee and a donut, he convinced himself he felt better. But as the day wore on, the pain seemed to swell, with little relief offered despite his multiple hits on a bottle of aspirin. Eventually, his back joined in the game, sending out waves of pain with every movement he made. By mid-afternoon, he felt weak and tired and left early from his temporary office at the Alaska State Health and Social Services to drive back to his apartment and rest. After downing a bowl of chicken soup, his abdomen started firing off streaks of shooting pain. So much for home remedies, he thought. After several fitful naps, he staggered into the bathroom for another dose of aspirin to help kill the pain. Looking into the glassy-eyed, worn, and weary face that stared back at him from the mirror, he noticed a bright red rash emerging on his cheeks. "Damnedest flu I've ever had," he muttered aloud, then fell back into bed in a heap. Security was tight at the Tokyo Hilton Hotel, and guests for the private banquet were required to pass through three separate checkpoints before gaining entry to the lavish dining hall. The Japan Export Association's annual dinner was an extravagant affair, featuring the best local chefs and entertainers, performing for the country's top business leaders and dignitaries. Executives from Japan's major exporting companies helped sponsor the dinner on behalf of their major trading partners. In addition to key customers, in-country diplomats from all the Western and Asian countries that constituted Japan's primary trading partners were treated as special guests. The recent assassination of U.S. Ambassador Hamilton and the bedlam at the Semcon factory opening had created a buzz in the crowd, and heads turned when the American Embassy's Deputy Chief of Mission Robert Bridges entered the room, accompanied by two undercover security men. Though a career diplomat, Bridges was more at home working policy strategies or conducting business security briefings rather than socializing in mass crowds. Hamilton had been by far the better glad-hander, Bridges thought, as he made small talk with a Japanese trade representative. A dinner host soon arrived and escorted him to a small banquet table where he was seated with a number of European diplomats. As traditional dishes of sashimi and soba noodles were brought to the tables, a troupe of geisha dancers glided elegantly about a raised stage, dressed in brightly colored kimonos and twirling bamboo fans as they pirouetted. Bridges downed a shot of warm sake to help deaden the pain of listening to the French ambassador drone on about the poor quality of Asian wines while he watched the dancers spin. As the first course was finished, a litany of corporate executives took to the stage to promote their self-importance with blustery speeches. Bridges took the opportunity to visit the restroom and, with a large bodyguard leading the way, walked down a side corridor and into the men's room. The bodyguard scanned the restroom, finding only a waiter washing his hands in a sink at the far end of the tiled bathroom. Letting Bridges pass to the urinal, the bodyguard closed the door and stood facing the interior. The bald waiter slowly finished washing his hands, then turned his back to the bodyguard as he dried his hands from a paper towel rack. When he spun back towards the door, the bodyguard was shocked to see a .25 automatic in the waiter's hands. A silencer was affixed to the muzzle of the small handgun, with the business end pointed directly at the bodyguard's face. Instinctively grabbing for his own weapon, the bodyguard had barely moved his hand when the .25 emitted a muffled cough. A neat red hole appeared just above the bodyguard's left eyebrow, and the large man raised up and back momentarily before collapsing to the floor with a thud, a river of red blood running from his head. Bridges failed to detect the muffled gunshot, but heard the bodyguard collapse. Turning to see the waiter pointing the gun at him, Bridges could only mutter, "What the hell?" The bald man in the waiter suit stared back at him with deathly cold black eyes, then broke into a sadistic grin that revealed a row of crooked yellow teeth. Without saying a word, he squeezed the trigger two times and watched as Bridges grasped his chest and fell to the ground. The assassin pulled a typewritten note out of his pocket and rolled it up tight into the shape of a tube. He then bent over and wedged it into the dead diplomat's mouth like a flagpole. Carefully disassembling his silencer and placing it in his pocket, he gingerly stepped over the two bodies and out the door, disappearing down a hall towards the kitchen.